Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Lord, as we come before you today, help us to take these words to heart, to see what you would have to say to us as your people. And Lord, may you be with my words, may they be true to yours, and may they be an encouragement to the people that you've called before us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, you'll notice in the bulletin that opposite the order of service, at the end of the prayer request, there is verses 12 to 17. And it does a couple of things there. One is I use the 1984 NIV for the word of Christ, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I use the 2011 NIV for what comes after the psalms, hymns, and songs, because it's more fitting with what we see in the Greek. So it's, as you can see there, it says, let the word of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. So I made those two little changes. Now, what I would encourage, next week we'll be talking about letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And what I'd like to see us do is to memorize this passage, 12 to 17. I'd say try at least to memorize verses 15 to 17, and then go and pick up 12 to 14. But letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, part of it is just hearing what's said or reading what's said, making it a practice to go to God's word and look at what it's saying there, and then think about that as you live your life, as you go throughout the day, just continually coming back to God's word. Some of it, though, helps to memorize. I'm a terrible memorizer. I've always been a terrible memorizer. When I had to memorize lines for plays at school, it just took me forever to do that. And yet, God's word seems to sort of stick more than other things do. And sometimes it's not just a matter of sitting down and going over a passage and memorizing, but sometimes just looking at the passage and going back to it many, many times, it just is there. And so if you have trouble memorizing, that's fine. But go back to it. Look at this. And I'd like you to have this word of Christ dwelling in you richly. We'll talk more about that next week, but that's something I just want to encourage, is for us to memorize that as a body, those verses. So, that said, we'll leave that, and we'll go down to what we're talking about today, which is verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. How many of you have been part of a church split? many hands coming up. It's a black mark on the Church of Christ that there are so many church splits. Generally, if there's a church split, there's something with an eye in the middle. Someone is dealing with things out of pride, or someone is dealing with things out of sin. There's an eye in the middle of both those words. Someone is being selfish, and they're not looking at the body of Christ, and they're not looking at the peace that comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to consider that. I just read that Chuck Smith's daughter, the founder of Calvary Chapel, huge church in Costa Mesa, California, which has, I think there's a few places around here that are Calvary Chapel. But Chuck Smith's daughter, Chuck Smith died, I think, a couple of years ago, and his daughter is suing Calvary Chapel. I mean, that's going to be plastered in different places in the news. I mean, it might not be one of the prominent things like one of the big church leaders, his son, committed suicide, and that was plastered all over the news. You see those things. We look at the Church of Christ and we see that in this world, it's not perfect. We look at the Church of Christ and we see that there are going to be people within the church that are dealing out of sin or out of pride. And we need to remember that it doesn't mean that everyone in the church is a hypocrite, or does it? No, we're not a hypocrite if we admit the fact that we are all sinners. If we understand that we all are perfect and we're working together to grow in our knowledge and understanding of who our God is and becoming more like Him. If you've been part of a church split, think about the eye that was there. Was there pride? Was there sin? Think about that. And then let's make sure that that doesn't happen here. Will there be sin? Yes. There will be sin here and there. Will there be pride? Yes. But we can overcome that by dealing with each other in the way that Paul talks about here. We can overcome that by dealing with each other, understanding the love of our God, and understanding the peace that He gives us. We need to honor our Lord by doing things in accord with His ways and not our own. And one of those ways is to bring peace. Peace. Like to look at this, looking at peace in my life, peace in the church, and peace in the world. And for each of those, I want to look at what Paul says about peace here and what it should mean to us. It should be that by which rules us. And this is ruling as an umpire, as a referee, ruling us. We should be looking at the one body that He has made and the peace that comes from knowing and understanding what He has done in making us one body. And by becoming thankful in all things. So first of all, peace in my life. The ruling part here. Now, I was at a volleyball game yesterday and I'm watching the game, and I'm right on one of the end lines. And there's a young girl there. They had girls from the other team, the tournament. They had girls from the other team watching the line. And the girl was looking at the line, and the ball comes down. And by the way, the coach was on the other side of that line, looking straight down the line. And a ball comes over, and it is clearly out by at least a foot. And the girl says it's in. And the umpire, who's standing or sitting up on top, couldn't tell whether or not the girl was right or wrong. Now, some umpires will be more quick to change the ruling of young girls. But this umpire didn't do anything, so he called it in. The other coach is on the other side, and I'm wondering, what is he going to do? Now, have you ever seen coaches for the throw a fit? And Corey was telling me about throwing a fit one time in a ball game. And he said, well, he saw the play that went on, and he knew that the guy, I can't remember which way it was either his team and it was called out, or the other team and they were called fake. And he knew that the umpire was right. And so, Corey tells the story, and so he went out to the umpire. The fans are just screaming. They're screaming bloody murder because they knew that the umpire was wrong. And so Corey went out to the umpire and kicked some dirt, and he told the umpire, now, these people are really mad, and if I don't do something, then they're going to be mad at me. So I know that you were right. I know that you made the right call, but let me kick a little dirt, and then I'll go back, and everything's okay. Well, Corey knew what the fans were screaming about, the fact that it looked different than it was. But he did something that brought peace to the situation. He gave the fans something that they wanted, but he also gave the umpire an encouragement so that the umpire knew, that Corey knew, that he was right in the call and that there was no problem and that everything could go on. Now, yesterday, this coach, as she's looking down the line, and she sees that this ball is clearly out, She looks up at the umpire, but then she just goes back to coaching her team. That was a good thing to do. Because it wasn't going to do any good to her girls or to anyone else on the court to make an argument out of that. She let the umpire rule. Now, here we see, let peace be the umpire. Let peace rule in your heart. How often do things happen in your life that could really torment you, that could really burn you up and make you angry, that could really be a problem for you? How often do you let them become a problem? How often do you become angry? Paul says, let peace rule in your heart. Let peace be the umpire. Let peace decide whether or not you need to react. Is there a way of peace out of this situation? And often it's just a matter of accepting the fact that we live in a fallen world and there are things that are going to go wrong and we move on. And we don't let it fester inside of us. We don't sulk and we don't whine. We don't let it fester. We let peace rule in our hearts. So our hearts are clear. Our hearts are clean. And we can go out and do what God desires of us. Let peace rule in your heart. He goes on to say there, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. As members of one body. Now, as I look at my own life, I'm not talking about the church yet. As I look at my own life, what one body am I a part of? I'm a part of the body of Christ. I've been united with Christ. I have His salvation covering me. I have His righteousness given to me. I have the fact that I, as a sinful person, can come before God and dwell with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. It should change the way I think. And like we talked about last week, it should change what I wear. No longer do I wear anger. No longer do I wear those things of the world. I wear the things that God is calling me to. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I wear those clothes instead of the clothes of the world, instead of the clothes of my fleshly nature. Those are the clothes that I wear. I'm one body with Christ. I'm united with Him. And I wear those things that are appropriate for being one with Him. And I become thankful. Now, the NIV and many translations just say, at the end of verse 15, and be thankful. So, it almost sounds like it just happened. Be thankful. But the word here is the same word that's used for creating. Becoming. Creating. We have some work to do in order to be thankful. Are we naturally thankful people? Well, some people are because their hearts are in the right place. But some of us need to work at it. Some of us need to look around us and say, wow, look at all that I have, all that I've been given. Look at the gifts that God has given me. I need to be thankful. Even when someone is being difficult with me, I can be thankful. I can be thankful for the way that God has worked in my life. I can be thankful for the peace that He brings. I can be thankful for the fact that He has given me a work to do here on earth so that I can shine for Him, so that I can show His grace to others. We need to become thankful. We need to make sure that we're creating that in us, looking at the things that we have so that we can be thankful. It doesn't just happen. We need to focus on it and make sure that we're doing what Paul says here, become thankful. I can have peace in my life if I look at the peace that Jesus Christ brings to me. If I look at the peace that He gives me, and I allow that peace to rule my life, to act as the umpire in my life, to achieve my union with Christ, and become thankful for the things that He has given for me. And I can bring that to this body, to the church. Peace in the church. We want peace to rule. Look over in John chapter 14 and 22 to 27. There we read. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home, and we will come to him and make our home in him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, or the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." There's a difference to those who are part of the church, whom God has called out from the world and brought together. We can be united with our Father and His Son. They dwell in us, and we have the Spirit with us so that we can understand His peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Our Lord Jesus Christ gives us peace as we go to Him, as we become united with Him, as we have the Spirit fill us and teach us all those things that God has given us in that Word of Christ, which is the whole of the Scripture, and that word of Christ, so that we make that a part of our lives. Make sure that you let peace rule in your heart. When there's conflict, if we have conflict in our body here, peace should rule. Do we disregard the truth? No, we don't. But we speak the truth in love, and we come together to work out what is of peace and what is of truth. We need to find the way of peace. I was part of a church once that was going through a difficult time. There were some on the session that decided that the pastor was no longer needed and that he should be removed. And that was it. And they didn't want to speak to the rest of the session. That letter I was there. It was pride. I know better than anyone else. There was sin. I'm going to do this no matter what. And I'm not going to talk to you about it. I'm not going to work it out. God eventually worked out the situation, and a new church was formed. And that I think the ministry of our God and the building of His kingdom continues. But it would have been much better if that had been done right from the start. If the way of peace was found by people working together, telling the truth to one another, telling the different perceptions and the different difficulties they had, and working things out, the way of peace brought the solution. And people wouldn't have been hurt that were. If there's conflict in a church, peace should be the referee. Peace should be the umpire. Peace to be that which we all seek while we're dealing with each other in truth. Let peace rule in your heart. For we are one body. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. As members of one body, you were called to peace. We are one body. Different members having different functions. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. We are different parts of the body of Christ. And we need to see that and work together in peace, using each other's gifts, so that the way of peace is what characterizes us as a church. As the adult class is looking at something new, I've got a real short book called I Am a Church Member that I think Corey will be presenting to the adult class that looks at the question of how do we work together as a church, as different members of one body. As Paul speaks of the body and each part being important and each part being necessary. As Hebrews says, that all the parts work together, every part, every joint and every ligament works together for the glory of God. We look at our gifts and we look at our differences and we look at how we can work together as one body of Christ. And we become thankful. We make sure that we're looking at how we should see the grace of God. By that word thankful, become thankful, it's based on the root of it is grace. We see the grace of God in our lives and we will be thankful. We need to look to that grace. Remember, it's not done naturally. We can thank God for each person in this body. We can thank God for the gifts that He's given to each one so that we can all work together and show His grace to the world around us. Become thankful. So we have peace in our lives. We have peace in the church. But we also have peace in the world. And it's a little different than what you might think. Peter says in 1 Peter 3, verses 13 to 16, 1 Peter 3, beginning in verse 16. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. As we go out to the world, we do so bringing peace, a peace that is beyond what the world can understand. But we bring the message of the gospel to that world. We're always ready to give the reason for the hope that is in us. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. We'll talk more about that in Sabbath school today. But as we go out in the world, we give that reason, we do so with gentleness and respect. Things that sort of sound a little bit like bringing peace to the situation. But also, as we look at who we're talking to and how we're talking to them, one thing that struck me this week, I was reading something by Bill Saxon, and what he was saying there was, look for a person of peace. As we're bringing the gospel to the world around us, look for a person of peace. A person of peace will be one who welcomes you. Now, when Jesus sent the disciples out to share the coming of the kingdom with people around them, what was one thing he told them? Go to a house, and what should they expect to find? Someone who welcomes them. And then they go in. If they don't welcome them, they expect to take the dust off their feet and move on. Now, I think that was for a particular historical setting. We don't necessarily wipe the dust off real quick now, because we're dealing with people who are all around us. But there is a truth there, that if you're going to continue to bring the gospel, you want to look for someone who is welcoming you in, who receives you, who is open to you, who will be open to what you have to say about Jesus, who is open to the life that you live because of your Lord and Savior. And not only that, we look for people who might want to serve us. When we bring people into the church, if new people come into the church, we want to look at ways that they can be a part of the service of the church. Because that's how we become united. We serve each other. So we look for people who will serve. A person of peace could be a passing relationship. Could be just someone you meet on the street or next to you in a plane ride or on a bus or whatever. It could be someone who God just plops into your lap. But often it's people that we deal with on a continuing basis, to whom we show the new clothes that we're wearing, the clothes that we were to put on as those who have new life in Christ. As they see those clothes, as they see the compassion, the kindness, the humility, the gentleness, the patience, the bearing with one another, the forgiving of each other, as they see those clothes, they might have questions, and they're open then to hear the wonder of God's grace. So as we look around us, look for people of peace, look for opportunities to share what God has done in your life. It could be those who have been prepared beforehand, who welcome people in, Someone like Cornelius, who was ready to hear the gospel because God had prepared him all his life, and he understood that there was a God and that there was more than what he knew. And when Peter goes to him and explains the gospel, he's ready to take it right there. He's been prepared. Paul and Lydia, similar situation. It could be someone that God just drops in your lap. In Acts 2, the disciples weren't ready for 3,000 people to be standing outside the door as they're filled with the Spirit, and as they go out and they start to talk and everyone hears in their own language. But God has brought those people in and made them ready to hear. The Philippian jailer, sometimes it's a matter of circumstances. Philippian jailer sees that there's an earthquake. He's ready to kill himself. Because he figures everyone's gone, and Paul says, no, we're still here. We don't want you to kill yourself. We don't want you to be hurt, because we want to bring you the truth of the gospel. Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch. God prepares the eunuch as he's reading through the book of Isaiah, and then all of a sudden Philip comes along and hears these words, and the eunuch says, what do they mean? And Philip's able to tell him of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Look for the people of peace around you. Look for the people whom God has opened their hearts to hear the message of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Now you'll deal with many people who aren't ready. Well, keep planting the seeds. Keep living a life before them that's honoring to God and shows those clothes that we're to put on as part of the new life that we have in Him. And then be ready for the opportunity to share the gospel when it comes. Let peace rule as you go out into the world. Be people of peace, looking for those people of peace that God prepared to hear the message of His gospel. As we bring that world, those people, into one body, how do they fit? How do they fit in as a part of that body? What gifts do they have that are going to be used of God to build us up, to encourage us, to make us better, to make us more like our Savior? How do they fit in? How do they serve? And become thankful. Always be thankful for the opportunities that God gives you to share His grace with others. Be thankful. Become thankful. You won't be thankful if you've never looking for those opportunities. But if you're looking for them, if you're able to share the wonder of God's grace, you will be thankful. Because you will know His grace in your own life. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let the peace of Christ be the umpire in your heart. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. One body. Now we're a small body here, but we're a body with many, many gifts. We're a body that has gifts to serve each other, to encourage each other, to stimulate one another, to love and good deeds, to help each other be conformed to the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Since you were called, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and become thankful. Create thankfulness in your life as you look at the grace of God, the grace that He has given you, and the love that He has poured out on you. Be thankful. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray that You will help us to be people of peace. Not throwing out truth, but seeing the way of truth with peace as the umpire. Seeing how we can bring a peace that the world can't understand, but a peace that comes from You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.